No, just tell me about it. You know, I need someone. Much younger than today. You never need anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. I'm finally changed my mind. I'm opening up the door. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please help me?
Oh, this is Jim Fetzer with a Fearsome Four here on The Raw Deal on Revolution Radio Studio B, this 25th day of September 2024. And before we turn to the World War III, which appears to me to be breaking out both in the Middle East and in Ukraine and Russia, I was drawn into a rather bizarre show last night on RealDealMedia.tv, where Victor Hugo joined to talk about this P. Diddy scandal, which appears to be simply enormous with far-reaching political ramifications. He appears to be the black Jeffrey Epstein, everyone from Barack and Michelle Obama, I mean, Justin Bieber, you name it. They've been cavorting with this guy in all kinds of drug-laden sex orgies. It is weird. Victor Hugo joined it. I'd like you to offer us a bit of a sketch, Victor Hugo, because you clearly are more deeply immersed in all of this than am I. It was coming to me like a thunderbolt. I mean, really, I had no idea. Please, Victor.
Yes, like a deviant freight train, it was coming at you, Jim. You were listening to all this stuff happening at these freak-off parties with P. Diddy. It was quite something. That was an interesting show. If I can share the screen, I can show some things that will educate the audience in a visual manner. One of the ways that I was brought into this was because before I became a podcaster, I was influential in the South Beach nightclub scene. And I worked at 1437, 1439 Washington Avenue, which is where the infamous Liquid Nightclub was, where the Madonna, Sean Penn, and the Clintons used to hang out. And then I also did work with Michael Burgos and Michael Stein at the infamous Club New York, where both of those club owners were with Sean Puff P. Diddy Combs, whatever his name is, the night that he was with J-Lo and the shooting happened. So I understand how that nightclub scene works. And then when I worked in Shock Nightclub, I'm going to go ahead and, I don't know, I guess you can see the screen here.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so I worked at this place called Shock Nightclub in New York. And what happened was the club there was being used to run drugs and to launder money. And while I was there, I was hired by Julian Monoval, who turned out to be the French Bernie Madoff. And I was supposed to be doing the Guinness Book of World Record largest graffiti mural there. As you can see in the background, I did this thing flow. So what happened was the people were starting to realize that there could be pump and dump schemes in Miami Beach because it was completely lawless. The police were actually allowing the drugs to be run from the nightclub to the airport in police vehicles so that they wouldn't get caught. And it was actually written about here. You can see it in the Miami New Times. Here's the article: Shock Nightclub now under investigation, according to Miami Beach Police. And I was getting threatening texts over the money, because what ended up happening was while I was there, the police would show up at night and they didn't know what I was doing there. Well, what I was doing there was I was hired to paint the mural there. And then once I realized that there was money laundering and drug trafficking going on in the club, and I realized that there were undercover police agents working there, I started writing clues into the artwork. So I was working in French, German, Spanish, Aramaic, and English. And I was leaving a trail for the investigators to see what was going on. Once he found that out, of course, he was not happy. I think there was eight police officers that were arrested, and even the fire department was involved. But when I contacted the mayor, Matty Bauer, and all this is documented, you could verify all this, and let her know that there was a clear and present danger because the workers on the second floor were letting me know that the floor was about to collapse and all these people here would have been killed. And they gave me the photos and everything. I sent the photos not only to the Miami Herald, but also to CBS News in New York, in Miami. And it turns out everybody was just turning a blind eye. So that's why I realized, okay, for those of you who don't know, I'm a veteran American refugee. I'm stuck in the former Soviet Union after escaping China 2 hours before the last border closed on the day that the Wuhan virus whistleblower, Dr. Li Wenliang, died. So what ended up happening was when I ended up here, a childhood friend of mine who was from grade school, from first to eighth grade, he contacted me and said, "Hey, Vic, listen, I heard that you are in this situation. I work for the owner of Club 11. It's the most popular nightclub in the world, really, in New York, in all of America. Rolling Stone magazine just wrote about it. I'll show you the article." So people from all over the world come to this nightclub. Let me see. Here's the article from Rolling Stone that was just published, interestingly enough, this month, August 12, 2024. Nowhere in this 10-page article does it
We're
mention
not
any of
seeing
the illicit behavior.
Victor, we're not
So,
seeing anything. You're not screen sharing yet.
oh, I'm sorry. Wow, thanks for telling me. I had no idea. Wow, so I'm just talking and you're not seeing anything, huh?
What you're saying
Thankfully.
is fascinating enough.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, cool. So then
There we go.
okay, now you can see. Okay, so here are the articles. I don't know if you can see this here. Can you see that? The Miami New Times, Shock Nightclub, now under investigation, according to police. Here's Julian Montevall sending threatening texts. Here's my relation to Michael Stein and Michael Burgos, who were the owners of Club New York, where P. Diddy had the shooting with J-Lo. Now, what I do with my artwork, it's cryptic, and I put subliminal messages in there. Once I found out that these club owners were doing the people that they hired dirty, what ends up happening is there's a prayer that's done during Yom Kippur. It's called the Kol Nidre prayer. And people get upset at me when I say that it's the Jews, but they don't understand how this religion works, or this cult, I should say. When they say this Kol Nidre prayer, it absolves them of any anathemas, any vows, any promises, or any contracts that they make with non-Jews. So they're able to basically do what they were doing at this nightclub and other nightclubs that are owned by Jews that I've worked for. I can only speak for personal experience. They'll give you the down payment for your work, and then they say, "I'll pay you the rest when you're done." Of course, they rush you and get you to finish before the grand opening. And then when the grand opening happens, they claim that they don't have the money, and then you got to chase them down, which is another reason why I know that there's dirty stuff going on. Because when I did chase down these owners, I ended up in rooms where there were like all these gangsters there, and there were police officers standing behind the club owner, and there were like briefcases full of cash. And they were handing all the cash out to everybody. It was really illegal what I was witnessing. Anyway, I knew this guy was doing dirty, so I put "Don't be a dick" in front of this mural that I had to get completed before the club opened, and he freaked out. This guy is Michael Stein, and they were hanging out with P. Diddy and J-Lo the night of that. So they wanted to make a movie out of that. They were telling me everything that happened the night of the shooting with P. Diddy. So this is more of Shock Nightclub, where the drugs were being run, and where I witnessed the police that were taking the drugs. And what happened was one night the people came in and they held a gun to me and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm just the artist. I'm just, painting." So anyway, they held me at gunpoint while the drug transaction was being done. And anyway, I knew what was happening there. So here's more photos of the place there. So you get an idea of how these nightclubs work. And so these people were jet setters. They were flying in from Paris. They would fly in their private jets. They would do all sorts of like freak off parties, like P. Diddy and stuff like that. But nobody said anything. The city was in on it. The police were in on it. The fire department was in on it. And then they'd fly back to Paris on Monday after getting completely bonkered. But see, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I was just the artist. I was just creating the artwork. They tried bringing me into these,
You were a noticer. You were noticing.
I'm just the artist. That's why I say my job is not to be politically correct. My job is to witness, analyze, document, and observe this stuff for future generations. So that's why this Burgos, it was funny because as soon as he walks in, he's like,
The
what are you
one
doing?
club you were mentioning was when it was where actually it was P. Diddy that pulled a gun, he and his buddy. Who
Yeah, this is the guy right here. This is Michael Burgos and Michael Stein. They were the owners. They were with P. Diddy that night. And he was bragging how he was going to make a movie about what really happened there because P. Diddy threw one of his people under the bus. And he paid them to tell him that he had the gun. But this guy said he saw the whole thing. Anyway, this guy's dead now. It's interesting like how a lot of the people that are connected to what happened with P. Diddy are dead. So anyway, I put this mural there to tell him, listen, man, stop being a dick. Because you can't be afraid of these guys. That's the thing. They try to intimidate you with fear because there's this frequency that we're living in. And if you're living in fear, then you're like, oh, okay, I'll take the jab. By the way, it was funny because when I finished the mural, the owner, those two owners, they came in. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. We're getting ready to open. All I see is penises everywhere. There's dicks and penises everywhere. And I told the guy, I said, hey man, listen, it sounds like a personal problem to me. I just see art. But as you can see, I subliminally wrote, don't be a dick everywhere here. And I also put like penis there, but it's all subliminal. Anyway, it's my way of, taking the piss out of these guys because you can't get upset. I knew he wasn't going to pay me. So I was like, you're not going to pay me? Okay. You know what? You're going to see penises everywhere. So that was Club New York. And let me show you some other stuff here. This is why. Okay, so what happened with Michael Burgos? It's interesting. There's a pattern. These club owners, they tend to be Jewish, and they tend to be named Michael for some reason, which is interesting. Here's P. Diddy, and hear what he has to say about Club 11. I'm gonna have to put these speakers on here because you're gonna have to hear the volume of
Power
this.
on.
So let me see if we can
Bluetooth
turn
pairing.
these speakers off for you.
See if it'll play.
About the money that's involved in there using cryptocurrency because they partnered with FTX. So let's see if you can hear Pete in.
No, we can't hear him. We cannot hear him. Yeah.
I don't know.
We can't hear him, Victor Hugo.
You're mute. Because you're on mute. He's on mute.
You're muted, Victor Hugo. You've muted yourself. Victor Hugo, you have muted yourself. Crying out loud.
He's probably trying to, put the work with the share screen, probably hit it. It's pretty easy.
Victor. You're muted. You are muted. You are muted, Victor. Let me see. What can I do? Victor, you're muted. You're muted. Can you hear me? Victor, you are muted. Can you hear me? This is a little bizarre. Russ, give me your thoughts of yours. Just go ahead.
Just for fun, while we're waiting, I can, if you want to share the screen with me, I'll show you some of the, I'm
Sure.
going to show you where Diddy got his, I don't know if you heard the story about all the oil that he had. He had like 1,000 bottles of oil.
What kind of
And,
oil?
well,
Baby oil.
I think you can guess baby oil. Yeah. And
Greasing it up.
Yeah, greasing it up for his parties.
Go ahead, Russ. I made you a host.
So just for fun, I'll show you the
Go ahead, yeah.
All right, here we go. Let me here's Diddy's buying his lube dealers. Can you see it?
What's up, are you Diddy's guy?
Yeah,
I'm Diddy's guy. You got the lubricant?
Yeah, I got the lubricant. Oh, you got it right here, boss.
No, well, last time you guys.
Can you see it?
It was some really funk stuff.
Yeah, but I.
Recall.
Man, what in the world happened here? You got us. I don't want us. We want your image. Trying to wow, what's going on here?
All kinds of crap.
We got the expensive shit. Raspberry red ass. Top shelf.
That fire right there, dude.
Raspberry red ass?
Sir.
Russell, we got the wrong screen here somehow.
Really?
Yeah,
we're not seeing it.
We're not. There you go.
There it is. There it is. Gangsters.
Okay, boss.
Bro, I think he needs the blueberry puddle.
Back to us again.
Russ, you switched back to us again. I didn't get it.
Oh, I can't get back there. Okay.
We're having technical difficulties today.
Yeah.
Yeah, Victor Hugo, you were muted that whole last part. We couldn't hear a word of you.
5 minutes of it.
Yeah, 5 minutes. I was trying to tell you, and you didn't hear me.
Yeah, obviously, they don't want this information getting out there, as you can see. Yeah,
go ahead, Russ, go ahead, Russ, and we'll come back to.
Holy cow! Right. What's
here's another hint about who P. Diddy's all about. Okay, that's good.
I'm missing something about the baby oil. Is that to facilitate anal sex?
Anal sex.
Right.
Yeah. Joaquin, what's going on here? I mean, look, the report we had last night included that Michelle committed anal sex with Justin Bieber. I mean, for crying out loud.
Well, you know, one goes down a couple of years ago with Epstein, so another one comes up, you know? There's always got to be somebody that's working for the intelligence services. You get all the dirty goods on all the celebs so that they do what they're told, including, of course, Obama and all the politicians. They're all in it just like they were with Epstein, you know? I mean, it's no different. Hollywood, the music industry, the entire mass media, news corporation industry, all of them are owned by Jews, and it's all about basically sexual blackmail. And that's how they control all the puppets. That's the way of the world.
And they also control the artist. You know, they can get the artist under their control, pretty much create any kind of contract they want.
He's the only artist. Victor won't go that way.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Russell, because that's how I found out about Club 11, because I don't know if you heard this part, but when I got stranded here after escaping China, a friend of mine from grade school that I hadn't heard from in 30 years watched the report that they had done on me. And he says, "Hey, Victor, I hear you're stuck there in near the Russian border." He goes, "I work for Club 11, and the owner is one of the richest men in the world. And he's also the Greater Miami Jewish Federation community leader. He's a philanthropist. So I'm going to tell him about your story to see if he can help you get back to the United States." So I said, "Wow, that's fantastic." So anyway, he puts me in contact with this guy whose name is Michael Simpkins. And Michael Simpkins asked me about my story. And then he starts telling me, you know, what it is that I do and what I have to offer. So I told him about my artwork and my experience in China and everything. And he says, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. I want you to deposit one Bitcoin into my wallet. You deposit one Bitcoin into my wallet, and I'll give you 10. And then I'll fly over there. I'll pick you up. I'll bring you back to the United States, and you'll work with me on what we're building, which is the Club 11 Hotel and Residences. And I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. And then I said, but I don't even have enough money for food and shelter. That's why I'm asking for help, because I'm basically homeless here in a foreign country that I don't even speak the language. And winter's coming. I said, I've got less than $100, so a Bitcoin, I don't have that. If I had that, I wouldn't even be needing help. He says, well, listen, do whatever it takes to get that Bitcoin into my wallet. And you give me that one Bitcoin, I'll give you 10. So I contacted my childhood friend. I said, hey, man, listen. Is this a scam? Is this a joke? What's going on? This sounds like one of those scams, you know, those Nigerian prince scams. He says, man, I'm so sorry. He goes, I'm embarrassed. He goes, I don't know what's going on. So then I contact Michael Simpkins, and he says, where's the one Bitcoin? I said, man, I don't have it. He says, well, do whatever you have to do. Again, he testing me. And that's what they do. Like you said, Joaquin, they test the artist. They see how bad you want it. How much do you want the fame? How much do you want the power? Because he was promising me 10 Bitcoin, which is a lot of money. And not only that, but that he would fly over to pick me up and then fly me back to the United States and set me up so that I would be involved in having the Victor Hugo collection as a museum, the way that they have it in Las Vegas, where the hotels and casinos have museums there. He was going to put the Victor Hugo Collection Museum as part of the Club 11 Hotel Residences. And he's like, you know, you're going to be world famous because this is where all the famous musicians come, the P. Diddy, the Drake, the all of them, Kylie Minaj and all that stuff. So I was like, wow, you know, I'm not going to compromise my integrity, I told him. I said, you sound like a Nigerian prince. So he got upset at me and he says, well, if you don't have what it takes to get me the one Bitcoin, then you don't have what it takes to be in this business. So I was like, okay, but I'm not going to compromise my integrity. And that's the problem. A lot of these people with the P. Diddy and the fame and the fortune and the power, they sell their souls. And once they do that to you, then they own you. And so, you know, in my opinion, I dodged the bullet with that because I would have been there and I would have been involved in all this stuff. And next thing you know, some of that lube would have been poured down my back. Forget about it. So, yeah, it turns out that it's totally fake and gay, that industry. Yeah. And working in that, I realized that because, like I said, when I was there, you probably didn't hear it, but I was witnessing drugs being run out of Shock Nightclub. I don't know if you heard that part.
We got that.
The police were involved in that. So even when I report this to you,
they were obviously beat up with bags of money to support the whole enterprise.
And now if you look up Michael Simpkins, you'll hear him on a podcast with Jordan Belfort, who's the Wolf of Wall Street, bragging about partnering with Sam Bankman-Fried of FTX and how they were essentially they were laundering money because the thing is FTX was a scam. And they were using FTX at the nightclub. He was bragging about how these gay rappers show up there and throw down hundreds of thousands of dollars a night because these people, they have money. They literally, I don't know if you've seen them, but they throw money around. It's like a way of showing power that they've got. So that's how you launder the money. I was at these clubs, and when I would go to get paid, I would be surrounded by all these gangsters, and then there would be cops behind the club owners. And there would be stacks like this of cash, and they would pay everybody in cash. So they were doing this money laundering in front of the police with the knowledge of the city officials. If you think that a nightclub that's less than 10 years old that was just written about in Rolling Stone magazine just a couple of days ago with no mention of any of this can somehow then turn that money into two high-rise buildings in the most popular part of Miami – then there's definitely a problem. And then, of course, they use the Talmud, which states that you can use lies to circumvent the non-Jews, and they tell people that it's not a strip club. Meanwhile, it's a 24-hour strip club. So not only are they exploiting women and exploiting blacks, but they're also running prostitution out of that place because they've got these private rooms back there. Private rooms is where the sex happens. Now, what's interesting about this is that if P. Diddy gets thrown under the bus, and let's say P. Diddy gets Epstein, the black community is now going to realize that the Jewish mafia has been turning the blacks against the whites for years. with guys like John Stewart, who openly say us Jews and blacks need to get together and get whitey. So now the blacks are going to realize, holy cow, you know what? They're using us. They're manipulating us. They're even selling the blacks these racist Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs to spend at Club 11. And they're getting the black people to basically, I don't know if you've seen these NFTs, but they're like super racist. Meanwhile, you can't call it monkeypox, but if a Jew sells you an NFT with the face of a bored ape, that's okay. And it was interesting, Jeff, or Jim, I'm sorry. I was on a show today with David Icke's son, and he asked me who the enemy was. And you know, they've trained everybody to be so afraid of naming the Jew that when I named the Jew and I explained to him, Gareth was uncomfortable. You could see him. And he's like, well, you don't really mean all the Jews, do you? And I said, you know what? He goes, I don't mean to put words in your mouth. I said, no, Gareth, I mean all the Jews. Because the thing is, can you identify a deep state for me? If we're sitting in a pub, can you point at that and say there's a deep state? Can you sit there and point at a Chi-Com? Can you sit there and point at a globalist? What are those? Those are just names, even Zionists.
We've had a break, yeah. Hugo. When we come back, I want to get Joaquin's take on all this, because it seemed to be P. Diddy is the black Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, Blackstein.
We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is the Maverick artist Victor Hugo, reporting modern art gonzo journalism for the Modern Art Music Movement. I'm here with Joachim Hagopian, Russell Winter, and Jim Fetzer, who will be right back. Where we left off was asking, what does a globalist look like? Could you describe a globalist if you saw one in a crowded room? Could you describe a Zionist? Could you describe what a deep state looks like? Could you describe what a Chi-Com looks like? Could you describe what a Jew looks like? If you can't describe or name the enemy, then you've got a problem. Russell Winter, if you saw a Chi-Com in the room, how would you describe a Chi-Com? What does a Chi-Com look like?
No idea. No idea.
How about a globalist? Could you describe what a globalist looks like?
No.
Joachim, if you were in a crowded elevator, would you know which one was the deep state in that elevator?
It depends on where you are. In Washington, D.C., you could say it's a pretty safe bet. But these are all kind of dubious, overused terms. They don't really get down to the point. The point that, 98% of the people that are controlling the world in an evil way happen to be of the Ashkenazim set, but that isn't to say all Ashkenazims are evil, but the ones that are in power are doing this to us. It's called human genocide, and that's their agenda. So, yeah, but, I see this whole thing. We live in a, and this is also, controlled by Jews, the media industry, the entertainment industry. And we live in a culture that worships youth and celebrityhood. And so you put this together and you get basically the P. Diddy's out there that become basically the pimps for basically the intelligence services that are trying to control all these people of influence, these so-called puppets. They're in the government, they're in the entertainment industry. I mean, these celebrities, millions of people follow them around the world. So they're very important people. And the ones that are in power basically make sure that all the puppets, including all the celebrities, that they can be controlled. And so that's why they basically engage them. And they say, hey, if you want to be a superstar, you must be part of this, which means sell your soul to the devil, drink the blood, be involved in the satanic ritual abuse, all of this kind of shit. It's all part of it. So that once they're involved in it, even as a bystander, they become controlled, compromised and controlled. So that's how this operation works. And it's been going on a long time now. And of course, that's how they also get all the politicians.
P. Diddy's been at this for 30 years. And it's alleged that he was a protege of Clive Davis.
Yes. So
Clive Davis is the big patriarch of a lot of music. Whitney Houston developed a lot of talent, chose who became the talent, ran the talent. He's kind of a contract man. So a lot of this compromise, as has been inferred, is to get these artists signed up under kind of sketchy contracts. The idea is to get a hold of their music catalogs. That's very valuable long term.
The way these contracts were set up was that they would drug these musicians, and then they would violate them in the most horrid of ways, and they would capture them on film. And then when the musicians went to sign their contracts, they were told one thing, and then the contract that they saw was completely another. And when they said, oh, no, I'm not going to sign this, then they would say, okay, turn the TV on. Let's show him the video of what we have.
Well, they all signed that. Basically, P. Diddy pretty much seduced Justin Bieber. He groomed him. He groomed him as a homosexual.
And it's kind of. I don't know about seducing him because he was a 14-year-old kid.
Well, I know. I know. I can show you a clip. I can show you what I'm talking about. So, yeah, he's 15 years old. He's very innocent, very impressionable. He doesn't know what he's getting into. Does Jim control this screen share?
Sure. You know, there's another guy named Lucien Charles Grange. He's Sir Lucien Charles Grange, also a Jew. And he's cited in this. The one name that's missing that nobody's investigating is Michael Simpkins of Club 11, who's running Club 11, which was the honeypot that was used by P. Diddy and his associates to bring these underage girls and their victims to the freakout parties because they were within close range of Club 11. So that's the next shoe that's going to drop once they start peering into that place.
I'm going to share screen if I can and show you the scene with P. Diddy and Justin Bieber. Everybody can judge for themselves. Here we go.
Not shared yet.
Okay. Is that up there?
Yeah, that's us. It's the wrong.
How's that?
Yeah, so
here we go.
As soon as you turn 16, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you rock this every time. Right. Yeah, this will be yours.
Lamborghini.
It's a little dusty, but you know, first shot at
man.
Justin Bieber's 15 years old.
Okay. All right, so
P. Diddy's 40.
Next year.
Yeah, when you get 16, you come down and you got to, you know, wear your seat.
I mean, I'm 15. You can ride in the passenger seat. I got my permit. Now that. Not yet.
No. All right. 16. Not ready. Let's slow down.
Josh. Okay.
Let's slow down.
One step at a time.
But yeah, the keys is yours. And when you're 16, you're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah.
All right.
And then when you get 18, you get the house. You get the mansion.
Okay. Yeah. I get the mansion. So where are we off to now?
Where would you like to go?
Wherever you want to go. Where are we going?
So check this out, yo. Justin, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy. They're having the times of their lives, like, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. I have been given custody of him. You know, he signed to Usher. I had legal guardianship of Usher when he did his first album. I did Usher's first album. I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So, and we're going to go full crazy.
Going crazy. I'm taking this out tonight.
What you want to do? What you want to do over the next 48 hours?
48 hours. Let's go. Let's just go get some grills. Let's go and get some grills.
Man, after my heart. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, then I'm going to roll it into another one here because this is revealing.
By the way, something that people don't like to understand, but the Jews for decades have been with the Frankfurt School and stuff saying that what they want to do is they want to eliminate the white people. So the way that they were going to do that was by lying about the slave trade, first of all, and turning the blacks against the whites, thinking that somehow it was the whites and not the Jews that were controlling not only all the slave ships, but the slave auctions. And they were running this out of Rhode Island. This is all history that's hidden. They don't teach this in the school books or anything. And now we have a culture where these white people, the white girls want to be with black guys. They don't want to be with the white guys. The kids like Justin Bieber, they look up to the black guys and everything. And that's what they did. They went from hip hop to this gang thug music culture where it's all about bitches and hoes and shooting people and just really destroying the culture, which is what happened during the Weimar Republic. The United States is reliving history through what the Jews did at the Weimar Republic. And this is their way. And they've put it in writing. You can look this all up. I want everybody to doubt what I'm saying. You got to see this. The plan is to get rid of white men. And you don't see the blacks and mixing in with the Hasidic Jew community This is to get rid of the whites, and it's happening. You see Taylor Swift, she's also involved with P. Diddy. And so P. Diddy's picking up where Jeffrey Epstein couldn't, because so Jeffrey Epstein couldn't infiltrate the black community and the music community the way that P. Diddy has.
All right, the next clip shows how everybody treated Justin Bieber. You're going to see some, they're just all over him. He's 15, 16 years old, and they got their hands on him. They're grabbing him. Watch this.
She's a tranny.
Yeah.
And so is Lady Gaga. A lot of these people are trannies.
He says, I feel violated right now.
It's Megan. You smell amazing. How old are you?
Thank you.
How old are you?
I'm 16. I'll be 17 in like 2 weeks.
I don't ever remember smelling that dude at 16. Like, I was, that was bad. Yeah. Wow, look at your eyes. What music are you listening to?
I don't wear it. To lose it. I don't want her to, go through anything I went through. I don't wish that upon anybody.
Would you rather be have to be naked on stage during one full song, or drink a cup of blended worms? Answer, Justin Bieber.
I have like little girl fans. I can't believe it.
No, I got balloons. Get that off of there.
Hey, this is a brand new.
Season, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Dick.
Yeah, that's good. So you can just see they're just grabbing him constantly, saying suggestive things to him.
Again, the reason why this is happening is because in the Talmud, it says that it's okay for grown people to have sex with young children. So the Jewish mafia is grooming, using blacks, using the music industry, using the film industry, the normalization of pedophilia. The United Nations just recently had their big meeting, and they're normalizing pedophilia as well. It's coming from the very top.
It's completely grotesque. It's completely grotesque, because how can a little kid give informed consent, not having any idea what's about to happen? I mean, it's just absolutely not merely immoral. It is evil.
Yeah. This grooming is really widespread now. I mean, it's totally taken over the culture.
All you need to do is look at the media, look at the music, look at the movies, I mean, they sexualize children in everything now. I mean, they've been working on basically making it legal, decriminalizing pedophilia now for decades, actually, so they can get off the hook, how they control people.
And look what happened in the Brooklyn synagogue, Chabad Lubavitch tunnels, where they had these bloody mattresses, they had these kids' chairs and everything. And what happens? The police show up and they end up pouring cement down there so that they don't have to, worry about any evidence coming up. So we are living under Talmudic law, which pretty soon will become Noahide laws. And once we're in Noahide laws, it will be officially the United States of Israel, and pedophilia would be legalized.
Victor, tell us what's important about the Noahide laws. I've never quite figured it out. Could you explain that?
Basically, the Noahide laws are going to be the ability for us to run rampant with the pedophilia, and also to kill anybody and have the death penalty for people who go against it. Of course, the people that go against it will be the non-Jews. It's totally aimed at controlling the non-Jews. And nobody's doing anything about this. Nobody's investigating the Noahide laws. Nobody's investigating the Talmud. We need to start looking this stuff up, people.
You're saying the Noahide laws are a specific list of which would be codified as law. So there are specific elements or ingredients of the Noahide law that allow killing non-Jews or those who protest,
It's called the Noahide laws,
What do they actually literally, I'm asking what they literally say.
I'll have to get back to you on that, because I don't want to misquote anything. I'm more familiar with the Talmud than I am with the Noahide laws.
One of the big ones is sort of a broad term the worship of idols.
Yeah.
Which can be parlayed into anything the Jews don't like.
Yeah. Like a cross, like a figure on a cross.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Joaquin, that
gives you the death penalty. They can kill you for that.
Death penalty for worshiping idols. My God. Joaquin.
Well, a related thing is worshiping the idols of celebrityhood. They've been pushing that one, too. These people are very influential, and it's the effects it has on young people who idolize these creatures out there that are so decadent. It normalizes pedophilia. That's the whole game to do that.
I want to point something out, though. It's a cultural thing, because I'm living in an Orthodox Christian country where they unanimously just outlawed the whole LGBTQ pride thing. That's illegal here. It was a unanimous vote, 84-0. What's happening is the United States of America, which is the Jewish-influenced U.S., they're coming in here now, and they're trying to create a color revolution. They're trying to normalize the LGBTQ and all the perversions. And these people are saying, no, we don't want that. So they're fighting back. The problem in the United States is that people are afraid. They're afraid to fight back. They've been so demoralized and so pushed down that they can watch those videos that Russell was showing and not see anything wrong with a grown man who obviously is gay looking at Justin Bieber and going, wow, such beautiful eyes. And then a 40-year-old guy seducing a 15-year-old white boy, and nobody says anything. Where are the parents?
Yeah, it's all supposed to be entertainment. That's supposed to be entertainment.
Well, if you're not
used to this kind of stuff, if you've never really seen it before, and I really haven't, because I don't follow all this entertainment.
The people in control want to basically destroy the West, and they're doing it through Sodom and Gomorrah means, and this is all part of that. You notice that the Eastern countries, Russia, China, they won't touch this stuff.
No, they don't. So
strange. And they outlawed. In Russia, it was outlawed a couple of years ago, the LGBTQ crap. So in other words, we're going to World War III. That it's irreversible now. And if it doesn't go nuclear, basically, the West is going to get their ass kicked by the Eastern nations that don't go for all this, watered down version of what it is to be male and female and all the rest of the cube. They don't have that. So, they're strict for about getting the job done when it comes to military. And our military, with Lloyd Austin, I went to school with this guy. I was his assistant squad leader at West Point. And he's just loaded this LGBTQ and, the whole race theory, all of this. It's all about divide and rule, divide and conquer. And he's just a puppet in there to just wreck it for any kind of military combat capability that the U.S. might have. They don't have it now. Look what happened in Afghanistan. So we're getting set up for World War III now, and we're going to get our ass kicked. There's going to be a lot of loss of life, but mostly Western people will be dying. And then what did they do with Israel stepping it up against Lebanon? They're sending more troops now, American troops going to the Middle East, It is so grotesque that our government goes along with this whole thing. And, it's very tragic because there's going to be horrible circumstances for the rest
Joaquin,
of the world.
Joaquin, I have a report of a reservist in Idaho who's got orders to report for duty in Ukraine. Ukraine!
Jim, what's happening with this P. Diddy, okay? You got to follow where it goes. So they're making our troops leave the United States, go to the Ukraine, go to Lebanon, go to Israel. So now, let's say a P. Diddy gets Jeffrey Epstein. The blacks are going to be pissed off. They're going to be pissed off at the whites because they're not going to be able to differentiate between the Jewish mafia and the whites. So the Jews are going to be protected because they've got their but now you've got the white people who are going to be in a civil war with the blacks. And if they start investigating, let's say this actually goes to where it needs to go, who's controlling these blacks, because these guys are just puppets. Once they start seeing that it's the Jewish mafia that's behind this, they're going to create a kinetic war. They're going to say, okay, we got to distract everybody away from all this because now they've found us out. So now let's do a kinetic war. So this is how this is going to go, because people are starting to wake up. More and more people are starting to name the Jew. And that's when they go, okay, we're either going to start the civil war or we're going to start a kinetic war. But if you're noticing, there's going to be nobody left at home to defend anybody. And that's why they're trying to take away the arms too. So this has greater implications.
You got an army of invaders. I mean, who's going to protect us from the army of invaders, for crying out loud? It's catastrophic from a military point of view. Joaquin.
Well, that's why they got the UN troops ready to go. You know, I mean, there really is nobody. You know, we're going to be off fighting these wars in three different war zones. And, you know, well, they've also, you know, brought in so many. I mean, what? The Chinese alone, Chinese males at military age have been crossing that border into the thousands. And what are they going to be doing, you know? Well, they're joining sleeper cells. There's all kinds of terrorists already in the U.S., and they've already connected with the sleeper cells. They're going to be on cue to start going after the infrastructure and American citizens. That's what's going to happen. We are unprepared for the future.
Totally, totally. We're going to
So what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this?
Kiss your ass goodbye.
It has seemed to me the militias, the oddly enough, the gangs, which don't like these foreign gangs, the motorcycle clubs, the constitutional sheriffs, most importantly, who can deputize any number of law-abiding citizens, are going to turn out to be our only sources of resistance. I mean, we got millions of armed Americans, but they're not organized. That seems to me to be the problem. Joaquin, would you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. Unfortunately, you know, they talk about the white hats, but I think that's a figment of grifters' imagination so that they can cash in. You know, there's a whole bunch of them out there. I know that there are factions within the military that will not turn their arms against fellow Americans. But as you say, I don't think they're organized. I don't think, and this whole white hat concept, I really don't see it. They need to have shown themselves long ago to be credible. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of good people in the military that will defend Americans, but it is going to be a civil war. There's no doubt, along with world wars.
And you got members of Congress who want to put these illegals into the military is a path to citizens. How insane is that?
The two West Point graduates, even that are in Congress, put the bill up for basically putting them in uniform.
Wow, that's disgusting. This is treason, what we're witnessing. By the way, I don't know if you've heard the speech that Trump gave recently. He said that the day that he gets in, he's going to really crank down on anti-Semitism. The people don't understand. They're thinking Trump is going to be the savior. He's going to be the savior for the Jews. They actually see him as the new Messiah.
Well, something worse than that has come up in the last 24 hours. And that's this. Here, I got the story right here. Trump claims Iranians' assassination plots. He's after his U.S. intelligence briefing on alleged threats from Iran to assassinate him.
He's being smokescreened. That's just bullshit.
Let me give you the crescendo here. Guess who gave him the briefing? Her name is Donica Haynes. She's an American lawyer serving as the director of national intelligence in the Biden administration. and she's a Jew.
Of course.
Of course.
But
Jim, they would like nothing better than to have Trump assassinate, blame it on Iran, and everyone's going to be outraged to bomb Iran. That's the plot. That is the plan.
The point is I'm going to make is that Trump's very much into this thing. You know, this whole fake assassination thing is starting to make sense now. It's basically it's basically a uniparty plot to set the stage for war with Iran. And they kept it close to their vest. And we've been talking about this on the show. I've said it a couple times. Well, they haven't fully revealed the Iran situation. They've kept it close to the vest, but now they're sort of putting it out there. And he gets briefed by this Jewish lawyer at the
It got floated out there with the Iran connection with assassinating Trump. It got floated out there right after the Butler incident.
Right. By the way,
but Jim, not loudly. It got floated out there. Now it's coming out loud.
Yeah, they keep coming back,
I had Thomas Williams on the show yesterday, after you had him on with us, and he admitted that from his personal knowledge that Donald Trump is in on this whole thing. So according to Thomas Williams, this is exactly the way it was planned from the beginning. And I was shocked to see how much inside information Thomas Williams has. He is a wealth of information. Jim, if you get a chance to watch the podcast that I did with Thomas Williams, it was over 2 hours. And holy cow, he's like, Trump is not to be trusted.
Okay, we'll be right.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. Time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. not giving up. Revolution Radio. It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is the Maverick artist Victor Hugo reporting modern art gonzo journalism for the modern art music movement. I'm joined by Russell Winter and Joaquim Hagopian. Russell Winter, can you please tell us a little bit more about the Noahide laws, if you know of anything about
that? Well, I think the big thing is it sort of gives them carte blanche to punish you for just about anything that they imagine, anything within the Jewish imagination. Mostly it's just simple Ten Commandments stuff. Thou shalt not kill. Just basic Ten Commandments. But then all of a sudden you got the adultery thing put in there. And that's where they really open up the Pandora's box to include about anything. Anything that the rabbis say.
Are you aware of, I believe that Bush signed into law the Noahide laws during the Bush administration. Is that correct?
Oh, I think they did, had some kind of a acknowledgement of it. They had a bunch of Jews.
I'm being told that after Bush signed that into law, that Trump is going to come in and he's going to finalize that, and then he's going to.
Well,
use
I mean, one of the things I'm sure is included in within the Noahide law structure is the extermination of anti-Semites.
Yeah, have you noticed that Trump has really been focused on that lately?
Yeah,
what's going on with that?
He's awful. He's awful. Yeah.
He says he wants to make Israel great again. He's
I think there's two things. America. I think people need to focus on that aspect and the fact that he's promoting a war with Iran. He's just fallen right into the deep state's plans. You know, let me read this.
Kamala Waltz is impossible. I even have a report that Waltz is a registered sex offender. I mean, this is just so.
Let me read Donald Trump's tweet earlier today. Here's what he says.
You want to show it?
I can read it. Okay. Big threats on my life by Iran. The entire U.S. military is watching and waiting. Moves were already made by Iran that didn't work out, but they will try again. Not a good situation for anyone. I am surrounded by more men, guns, and weapons than I've ever seen before. Thank you to Congress for unanimously approving far more money to Secret Service. Strictly bipartisan. Nice to see Republicans and Democrats get together on something. An attack on a former president is a death wish for the attacker. So it says, hey, yeah, we're united, you know, big threats by Iran. We're going to pull some kind
of... What an idiot. Meanwhile, yeah. Alejandro Mayorkas is the one who's in charge of the Secret Service. And rather than firing or investigating Mayorkas, They got rid of that DEI hired woman, and they put in the very guy that was in charge of the Butler thing.
That's because the plan all along is Iran. You know, these are fake assassination attempts.
Exactly.
I don't know how it's going to play out. Maybe they'll wound. Maybe they'll do a fake wounding of Trump. I don't know. Maybe they'll put him in the hospital for a while under fake circumstances.
Yeah, none of this makes any sense, because I'll tell you what, if I had all those attempts made on my life, I wouldn't be running around doing these stupid speeches and playing golf. I'd be hiding in a bunker somewhere. So this is all nonsense.
The reports I have is the administration wants to provoke war with Russia so they can impose martial law and nullify the election. Now, this.
Maybe Iran, though. Maybe Iran.
Both.
Yeah, or both.
Joaquin, elaborate. I mean, we're not prepared to fight these wars.
We couldn't even fight the Houthis.
Militarily, we certainly aren't. Politically, we aren't. And, you know, there's no consent by the American public either, which would be, you know, 99% against war. This is all basically according to the plan of, you know, the Freemason Jewry from way back in the 19th century. You know, they said there was going to be World War III between the Zionist and the Islamic world. And here we go. You know, it's coming. And it's on both fronts. They're going forward with the Russia thing. You know, they're still quibbling this whole thing about, well, should we allow those longer-range missiles go further and deeper into Russia? You know, I mean, they're still, and yet they've been sending over those long-range missiles for over a year now, and they're quietly being used to hit Russia. So, you know, it's all a smokescreen, basically. But yeah, look what's going on over there in the Middle Eastern front, you know? It's nonstop airstrikes into southern Lebanon. They just took out another Hezbollah commander, on and on and on. They're planning to do an invasion, I believe, Israel. And of course, you know, General Ryder, the spokesman for, you know, Lloyd Austin's outfit, said, yep, we're sending more soldiers in, you know, so. Yeah, it's a terrible situation. It's only getting worse, and it's being set up. And as far as, you know, there might be a slight difference in the favor of Trump, and I'm not willing to say a lot about him that's positive, but I think he'd get us out of the Ukraine war certainly faster than the wench. But as far as the war in the Middle East, oh, my God. I mean, there's no way out of that. Because the whole government is owned and controlled by Israel, which is owned and controlled by the City of London. So there you go.
I think that's a bottom line. I think that's about, how can anyone think of Kamala Wallace as being a viable option? I mean, that's just insane. Insane.
There is no viable option.
That's why they did that, Jim, because they gave you no choice. From what I was talking to Thomas Williams yesterday, they purposefully allowed Trump to have the stolen election. He knew it was stolen. He knows it's stolen. They allowed it so that it could be so bad that what you said is absolutely 100% true. So now everybody's saying, well, it's the better of two evils. Well, you have evil on one side and evil on the other. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get evil. Either way, that's exactly what they wanted.
Victor, I want to pursue that. Allowing the stolen election, the damage to America is irreversible. I don't see how we can possibly get rid of all these monster illegals. I think the damage is permanent.
Yeah,
the damage is permanent. So why allow it to happen if you had a choice? Why would anyone allow this to happen? This is the destruction of America before our very eyes.
Exactly. America. That's exactly what they want. Yes.
America is Edom.
The controllers want to get rid of the West.
Let me go. Yo, Joaquin first. Go ahead, Joaquin.
Controllers are destroying the West. That's their agenda.
It's
depopulation agenda, you know? So that's what's happening. West is going down. The East will survive. However, in the end, I believe that the controllers are working with the East as the controlled opposition. So You know, there's going to be a lot of loss of life, and it's mostly coming from the West.
Right.
And that's why China and Russia aren't getting involved, because they know the plan. Everybody knows the plan. Destroy Edom. Edom is America. They call Benjamin Netanyahu even called it the new Rome. And then they destroy America. Then they rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And then they create the one world government in the new world order out of Israel. And the Jews rule the world. That's right. The plan. It's written.
Who's running the U.S. war effort? Three Stooges? I mean, what's the story with this USS Blackhorn, which is a U.S. Navy oil tanker, running aground off of Oman? I mean, it's like 300 feet of water. Where do you run aground there?
And it was a TI captain. It was a woman captain. Didn't know what the hell she was doing.
Oh, really? So they're towing this ship back to Dubai. It's out of action.
That's absurd.
And meanwhile, well, that's a good point.
America's a joke. Even our military is a joke.
A DEI captain, really?
Well, that's why Russia, China, and everybody, they're just sitting back. Why interfere with your enemy when they're doing a perfectly
good job? But
that ship
is the oil supply for the entire fleet there.
Yeah.
They're going to have to scramble around trying to find oil for the fleets. So that's how they're going to start this total war off in the Middle East, you know, on their back heel. That's more deliberate stuff. I can't believe exactly. That they would run aground. It's 300 feet of water there. Where are the rocks out there?
Yeah, you're right. It's all by design, Russell. This is a humiliation ritual to bring down the United States so that it'll no longer be the world power. They needed to get rid of the United States. It was written, Albert Pike wrote about it in 1871. As to my knowledge, the World War III started in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was put in. Then in 1914, World War I started, but that was really just the prelude to World War II, which was the chapters in this book. And now we're experiencing the epilogue, which started with September 11, 2001, which got us into all these Middle Eastern wars. And then you have the final chapters being written with the Wuhan virus breaking out, the stolen election. And now they're about to put the fork in the United States of Israel, destroying Edom so that we can have the one world government, which the United Nations just said they were going to create a one world government. They just said that this week. So that's where we're heading. But not everywhere. I don't think Russia and China and the Middle East are going to go for it. But I hope not.
I think China, Russia, and BRICS are going to thrive and survive, and the West is going down big time. Joaquin.
I agree. It's been done by design, and it's happening right before our eyes. Every day we're seeing the worst of it. There's no way that the U.S. will ever, you know, be prominent again. It's going down. The West, you know, entire Europe, Australia, New Zealand, all of them, they're all going down by design, by demonic design. I don't see a way out. The people can react. The people can mobilize. We can try and survive as a people, but I don't give us a big chance of winning against the powerful evil ones that are doing it.
See, being here with these Russians, I see them confident. The economy is booming. These people are united. I feel safe here. They're not afraid of the United States. They're not afraid of China. They're allied with China. The United States made the biggest mistake allowing China and Russia to become allies. They should have allied with Russia. The Russians helped the United States. They've always been great allies of the United States. Putin told Tucker Carlson that he wanted to make friends with the U.S. But, of course, the Jews that were behind Clinton told him, no, that's not going to happen.
What's going on? Russia, with its vast natural resources, was going to be the ally of Germany. Now it's going to be the ally of China. The greatest industrial power now is going to be China and the whole world. And Russia and they are going to be cemented. This is a disaster for the West, and it was all by stupid design, like blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. It's so grotesque. It's so stupid, Joaquin.
Yeah, you're seeing it as stupid. It's brilliant, Jim. If you're the enemy, because you infiltrate. Yeah, and that's
I agree. I agree. So, if your point is to destroy America and the West, pure genius, Joaquin.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we've had a few bloodline families in control for, I would even say, millennia. And we're talking about, you know, follow the money. You know, all you need to do is just go to where the central banking cartel, Rothschild, Rockefellers, the royal families, the black nobility families. These are the controllers that have been pulling all the strings of all the governments for a long time. Now we're finally seeing it, but is it too late? That's the problem.
Oh, I think it is too late. Russ, your thoughts?
Another thing I spotted on Trump this week was a big powwow with the Jewish money donors, particularly Miriam Adelson, where he got up there. I mean, and Trump has no filters on what he says. It's just amazing what comes out of him. And he just says he's all up for receiving campaign contributions for territorial concessions to benefit Israel. He just said it.
Yeah. It's in your face, man. They're not even hiding it anymore.
No. I mean, he's even more retarded than Biden. You know, he really is. He's just
so outrageous. And he did it before because she wanted the Golan Heights to be Israel. He gave him 100 million, declared Golan Heights to be Israel. Fuck.
Right. Right. That's how he goes down. That's I mean, he and
that
Pete.
Is so scabby.
I don't know if you've seen all the pictures of Trump and Melina with P. Diddy. Have you seen those? Lots of photos.
Yeah. They're compromised. That's why, according to Thomas Williams, Trump is compromised. He went along with the thing. He was supposed to allow the election to get stolen. That's why he made pretend like he was upset and everything like that. Yeah, he was upset. Trust the plan with the Q, the Patriots in control.
They're doing one of these what the fuck things that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Kind of like in your face, black magic.
Yeah. That's why they use the Q to keep everybody calm down. Now here we are less than 40 days away from the election. Please give me a break. There have been 4 years to destroy everything. If Trump were really commander in chief, if there were really white hats out there, this would have been taken care of a long time ago. As far as I'm concerned, if I see this actually go to fruition and there is an election, then I know that Trump is in on it. Because if the military really were doing its job, they would step in, they would arrest Harris, they would arrest Biden, they would arrest all these crooks and criminals, and they would say, you know what, Trump was the president, he's going to come in and he's going to serve another 4 years. This was just an undercover operation. If that doesn't happen, then we've been duped.
Recall that Obama basically got rid of all the patriotic, loyal to the Constitution, generals and admirals.
And generals who were put the Constitution ahead of their loyalty to Obama. 200 or 300.
Yes.
Joaquin was just outrageous. He was firing them right and left.
They did the purge just so that what's going on now is going to happen.
No, then they purged more of the critical thinkers in the military during the COVID. Got people to quit the military. Probably some of your better people.
What's amazing is these people don't realize that they're going to be the first ones on the chopping block when these evil satanic synagogue of Satan take over, because they now know who the traitors are. You see, it happens throughout history. They always take the traitors and they line them up and they go, are you kidding me? We're not going to keep you guys around. We know you guys are traitors. Boop,
I didn't want to cut you off. You were talking about getting rid of the patriotic leaders of the military. Please expand upon that.
Well, that was basically the plan to, you know, you're either loyal to me or the Constitution. And obviously, you know, those that are loyal to the country have been purged, leaving the ones that are in charge, like Lloyd Austin, he's an order follower. He does what he's told. I mean, he was over there in the Middle East, and he brought on ISIS. He was part of that whole thing. You know, they were actually paying people to join ISIS. This guy's in so deep. And, you know, this is what the military today is. It's full of traitors, just like our government. It's full of traitors. We have the wrong people in charge. American public, they fell asleep at the wheel and allowed this all to happen through deception and divide and rule. But, you know, it's now looking too late.
Jim, you're getting riled up. You need a vacation. You should come to Russia.
You know, if I were a young man.
They're making deals with people from the West to come, you know?
Yeah, man. You need to get out of that cesspool, that shithole country of the United States, and come get some peace in Russia, man.
If I weren't going to be 84 in December, I would really take that seriously. I think any young, healthy family ought to consider moving to Russia because the United States have become a cesspool. We are lost. We are lost. Russia can use the increase in the population, and the people who move there are going to benefit immensely. Immensely. They're going to be living in a healthy environment, a wholesome environment, a moral environment. Nothing here but degradation, corruption, sin galore. This Diddy thing is just outrageous. Joaquin, your thoughts?
You're absolutely right. The West has been allowed to become so decadent that it's not going to stand. And by design, by demonic design, they plotted this a long time ago. It's happening now. You know, I wish I had, you know, some things that we could do. I mean, you know, yeah, the people can mobilize as much as we can. We can go local. We can, like, use as much cash as we can. Don't go in for the whole digital ID and the CBDCs and the social credit scores, because that's going to be our downfall if we go that far. You know, we can try and mobilize and resist and oppose, but, you know, they got the big guns and we don't. So unless we get some help from, you know, maybe Russia will step in on the Patriot side in America and help. I don't know. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think Russia would be able to help the United States to rebuild a new country and a constitution. Because honestly, Russia doesn't want a fight with the United States. Russia is not the kind of country that's looking to invade. They're just looking to defend. Whereas the United States of Israel, they're all about from the river to the sea. Even their flag, the symbolism is right there. First of all, they've got the satanic star of Remphan that they lie and call the Seal of Solomon, which it's not. And then the blue on top and the blue on bottom is from the river to the sea, which is interesting because if you're not a Jew and you say from the river to the sea, then you're considered anti-Semitic. And Trump says he's going to stop financing any schools that allow anybody to say from the river to the sea. Unless you're a Jew, of course, you could say whatever you want. So they put it right in your face, man, the Greater Israel plan. That's why they're attacking Lebanon now. They want to take parts of Egypt. They want to take Jordan. They want to take parts of Syria. I mean, these people are a menace. And, of course, the United States is 100% behind them. But the rest of the world isn't. The rest of the world knows that the Jews are parasites.
Rush.
Well, I've listened to a few of Putin's speeches, and to me, he doesn't sound conciliatory towards the U.S. at all. He doesn't like the U.S. He wants the U.S. to collapse. I think
yeah, of course.
Very clear yeah. in his message. What that collapse looks like, I mean, I don't think Putin really cares.
No.
I think it's going to be pretty much up to what's left of the American people to deal with. So, yeah, just a real comeuppance for the United States.
Do you blame Putin, though? Do you think Putin's wrong for saying that?
No, because the United States has established itself as an adversary and deadly enemy. Very conniving.
Yeah. I love my country. I love my country.
Let's go back to 1990 when George H.W. Bush's state secretary, James Baker, told Mikhail Gorbachev, "Not one inch eastward will we go." 1990. Yeah. 16 countries went eastward since 1990, right up to the border, all being hostile, some with U.S. nuclear missiles aimed at Moscow and other cities of Russia. I mean, And then they invited Putin to the 2008 NATO conference for him to sit there. And they announced in the 2008 summit that Georgia and Ukraine are going to be the next NATO members to join. He's sitting there with them. They did it to degrade him. And so this guy has put up with a shit from the West forever. I mean, you know, he rose up in the KGB, was close to, you know, he loved actually Germany, got along with Merkel, in fact. And then he felt betrayed when she betrayed, you know, Russia with that, you know.
Minsk agreement, yeah.
The agreement, you know, the
yeah.
In Belarus. But anyway, so, it's real clear that Putin has tried. In fact, he even told Tucker Carlson, yeah, I was wanting to actually join NATO, yeah. You know, and that's why he probably attended that 2008 summit. You know, so they totally betrayed him. And, you know, so, yeah, we have the evil ones of the West that have done this to the West. And, you know, I hope that there's a merciful Putin that will help out. But, you know, he owes no allegiance to the West. That's for sure.
Joaquin, when you say the evil ones in the West, people need to learn their history and understand who was in the cabinet and who had most influence that brought us into World War I after the creation of the Federal Reserve, which is controlled by the central bankers, the Jews. And then you have to look at who was in the cabinet that brought us into World War II. They were all Jews. And now you look at
who's in the cabinet. Everyone, we'll be right back. And when we return, I'll open the lines to callers.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia, at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it.
that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm going to open the lines to callers. The number is 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727. I don't know. The situation seemed to me to be catastrophic. Catastrophic. Why, can you see any way to save the nation? If Trump is all in on it, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think it's up to us. We, the people, are our only chance to rescue ourselves from hell.
Russ?
No, because you got war, a combination of war and Zionist police state coming, so we haven't even seen the worst of it yet.
Victor?
I agree with Thomas Williams. We have to keep sharing information like what we're doing, because eventually the people are going to wake up and they're going to realize that there's more of us than there are of them. And they are getting very nervous. That's why they're pulling out all the stops and they're getting sloppy with what they're doing. It's gotten to the point now where, Jim, even you are realizing that there's the very real possibility that Trump may not be the MAGA guy.
Bitter pill for me.
But you know what? Swallow it and realize that we outnumber them. And once that happens and everybody gets united, I've seen these revolutions going on. Kazakhstan, not far from where I am, just a camel ride away. They took over. The same thing's happening all over the world. People are uniting. And once that happens, and I think this P. Diddy thing is going to be a big deal. Because once the blacks unite with the whites, and once the Christians realize, holy cow, these Jews are trying to kill us, listen, they're done. And that's why they're getting so nervous. And I think this P. Diddy thing is going to really be a catalyst. I know that the Jews fear that the blacks and the whites and the Christians are going to unite with all the other non-Jews, and then they'll be done. And then the pogrom. Once the pogrom happens in the United States, everything will be better. I'm sorry to say, and I know a lot of people get upset when I say this, but let's stop pussyfooting. Let's stop being politically correct. It's the Jews, people. As soon as you realize that and that they're trying to kill you, you'll be all right.
Well, wait, I think Ms. Paul joined the conversation.
Well, I was going to say that if I wasn't pessimistic before I heard this show, I am now. But, you know, then Victor just gave us a glimmer of hope. You know, when the pogroms begin, we'll be better. So I don't know.
I'm not sure who's going to be the target of the pogroms. That's a problem.
You know, I made this comment the other day on the FTJ Media. To me, I think it would be great if we just get it out in the open and they just tell us Kamala Harris won the election with more votes than any candidate has ever had in history.
More votes than there were voters, Paul. More votes than there were voters. Why be coy about it?
I would to me, I would like it if they just said, you know, this is the first time ever that a candidate received no votes. For some reason, nobody voted for Trump. Paula Harris wins 100% of the votes.
Yep.
And when she does her inaugural address, they just make it a coronation. You got some rabbis, and they wave a magic scepter around. They put a crown on her. And for her inaugural address, she reads from the Communist Manifesto. Well, let's see if that wakes up the American people. I really want this. I want this to happen.
What is it you want to happen, Paul?
The scenario I just laid out.
You mean that the absurd vote, just as a capstone, is frosting on the cake.
Yeah, capstone. That's a good way to put it. The capstone.
Yeah.
The capstone event.
Exactly. I mean, everything they're doing, it's just been so well put by different people, including Russ, you know, and the humiliation ritual that it all is. And, I mean, I've made the point many times that these elections don't matter anyway because, you know, we get a choice between.
Go ahead. You make that point. I've disavowed it repeatedly. I'm just now distraught that at the very deepest level, we may have the same outcome either way. At the deepest level, Russ, you want to say more to Paul? Whatever.
No, I mean the capstone theory is a good one. You know, let's bring the idiocracy on. You know, full born idiocracy, and this the ultimate humiliation ritual combined with I think we'll get the Zionist police state even with Kabbalah. Unfortunately,
yeah.
So either way.
It's a win-win situation for the Jews because they've managed to infiltrate. At this point, it's like what Paul says. These people need to be smacked across the face with a dead fish.
You know, when I saw who briefed Trump on this Iran nonsense, yeah. And then I saw that she was a Jew, the first thing that came to mind was Victor. The first thing that came across my mind, Victor right again.
It's the Jews. It's the Jews, people. Eventually, they'll wake up. Eventually, people will.
You know, you have to give people empirical evidence, though. So I think the best approach to it is just to say, you know, every single time, that's the way you do it. You can point out the names. Just kind of make a proclamation, it's the Jews. I think that kind of maybe doesn't sit well with a lot of people. But if you give them the empirical evidence, here we go again, here we go again.
Here's some empirical evidence. All of these so-called candidates, presidents, and all this, every single one of them has pictures with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
Every single one.
And P. Diddy. Say? And Diddy as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trump was good friends with Diddy. They have a video of Kamala Harris.
Tell me more about how you think Trump has been compromised by Epstein on the one hand, Diddy on the other. Was Melania even dragged into all this? I mean, I'm just horrified at the thought.
Well, you know, Melania Trump photos of herself.
She was a teenager brought into it. She was part of the whole Epstein, you know?
Yeah.
In the Eastern Europe, she was brought over as a teenager. Yeah, she's...
I want to hear more. I want to plumb the full depths of this corruption.
Joaquin, can you tell him how Trump's ex-wife used to run around and help procure women?
Yeah, a really good friend, very close chum of the one that's down in the Florida prison getting the plush.
Yes, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell and Ivanka Trump.
If you're telling me Ivanka Trump was a buddy of Ghislaine Maxwell in procuring girls for Epstein?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
God.
You're not having a good day, Jim. I mean, you're just getting a...
Eve, it's unbelievable.
Give me the screen and I'll show you some more empirical evidence about Trump and Diddy.
Oh, hang on.
Good grief, Jim. You need to go to a freak out party to relax a little bit tonight.
I'm sorry that the time of relaxation is long gone. Your host, Russ.
Okay, here we go. You can see it? You see the pictures?
Got us again.
Hmm? Oh, okay, here we go.
There you go. There you go.
Good grief. Good grief, man.
All right, left to the left, we got Trump and Diddy. We got Diddy and Trump, a little younger Trump.
Melania.
I mean, she's Melania looks good there. She's very young.
She looks very good.
But there's a bit, very big age difference between Trump and Melania. You know, that's always been a little bit sketchy.
Yeah, Trump's going to fix everything. He's like Jimmy Savile.
There's Diddy and Trump and Melania looking good. That's Melania really looks good. She really looks good in these pictures.
Yeah, you and are who you hang out with.
There's Trump and Diddy and Melania on the lower right with their Jew buddies. I think that's Jennifer Lopez and Trump. And I think that's Diddy's first girlfriend, Cassie, who's written a book about Diddy, kind of a tell-all book. There might be some things turning up in that. And lower left, we have Diddy and Trump and Diddy's second girlfriend, who he kind of beat on, a lot of abuse. So there you go. I mean, just regular outings with Diddy. I can't prove that he was that Trump was at the after parties. You know, a lot of people went to the main events and then but you know, he must have known. He's a smart guy. He must know what goes on there. Come on, Donald, quit playing so dumb all the time.
Yeah, it's funny. He plays smart when he wants to be, but meanwhile, when all this other stuff is happening and everybody knows but him. I mean,
so is Trump engaging in these sex orgies and
shit? Probably not, but he's got to know the reputation of these people. Come on. 30 years of this
lawsuit. There was a lawsuit in basically October of 2016, and it got paid off. The woman was a victim from Connecticut. They brought her back to New York City.
Yeah.
And basically Trump had his way with her, and she was like 13 or something like that.
And then
Jeffrey Epstein got all pissed off because Trump had her first, breaking her virginity.
Epstein regarded that as his divine right, huh?
Just way, way too many Diddy and Epstein events and parties.
We got another caller, 870. Join the conversation.
Yeah, good afternoon, Professor. This is Gary in Arkansas.
Go ahead, Gary.
Got some good news for you. The Supreme Court in the 1990s, in a case called Prince versus U.S., PRINTZ, they held that the sheriff was the highest law enforcement official in the county. The sheriff has the authority to block the operations of any official from the state government and any official from the federal government. And this is based upon one of the articles in the Federalist Papers. So the sheriffs have had the authority to shut down all federal agencies within their county for at least 25 years. Right. I mentioned this to a sheriff in a Texas county in 2015, and the sheriff called me a liar. Right. So they don't know. Right. The sheriff did go talk to his legal counsel and found out that was correct. So my point is the sheriffs have had the authority to shut down the federal government for at least 25 years, and they haven't done it. And that's because they have the same boot on their head is the same as the other boot is on Trump's head.
So where's the good news?
Gary, I like that. But we were into whether Trump and Melania, how deep they've been dragged into the Epstein Diddy, you know, sex campaigns. I mean, that really is the primary. Your point is excellent regarding immigration and the like, and I'm glad you mentioned it.
But hold on a second. Gary, you said you had good news, and all you gave us was a kick in the balls. What kind of good news is that? So basically what you're saying is For the past 25 years, none of this should have happened. And what we've got is a bunch of corrupt sheriffs. I don't see the good news of that.
Sheriffs have power, but they don't know it. That's the message.
Yeah. Well, don't call with good news like that, please. Let's just keep callers that are actually giving us good news. I feel like I just got punched in the gut.
Hang on. Let's let Gary say a few more words. Go ahead, Gary.
The good news is the sheriffs are not going to save you. The good news is that the Constitution of the United States documents the solution to this problem, and it's in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15. It says the people are responsible for law enforcement.
Okay, thanks for that, Gary. Thanks for that. Paul, did you want to add a few words?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I've heard you, like just today, you said bitter, bitter, bitter pill, but you've already swallowed multiple bitter pills about Trump. I've been listening to your show for years, as you know, and of course, I called in probably in 16 or 17, something like that, and I mentioned to you that, yeah, Trump had been accused in court documents of sexual assault and rape, you know, multiple times. You could view these documents online at the time. Right. I pulled one of them up because a lot of these court cases you can see. And so, you know, I just posed the question to you. Why weren't we hearing about it then from the press? In other words, if they want to scandal somebody, they will scandal them very easily. So why were they not scandaling Trump or scandalizing Trump?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Because they're in on it, Paul. This was you're watching the show. This is meant to
plans
be
for Trump.
Yeah.
30 times.
Trump was bought in.
Hang on, Paul. Joaquin, your thoughts?
Well, I said they had some plans for Trump, you know.
Yeah.
They've gone easy with his escapades with children. They've gone very easy on him. And then he huffs and puffs and says, yeah, we got to go after those pedophiles. He wrote this on the social platform, I think Twitter. He wrote it in 2012, you know. I mean, and you know, he's the first president to actually speak up and talk about, you know, pedophilia and stuff. I mean, so I give him a little bit of credit, but, you know, that was all for show, to placate and to maybe get some more votes, you know. I don't see him as and what he's planning for us that criticize Israel, that talk about the Jews, you know, he's not our friend.
He's playing good cop, bad cop. They're playing the whole Americans as a like a fiddle. So they brought him in because everybody knew that Clinton, everybody hated Clinton. So they brought him in. They made him look like the bad guy. He didn't care. That's why the media was running that whole thing. And then they did the humiliation ceremony with Biden. They allowed everything to go to hell for 4 years. And now everybody's like, oh, yeah, Trump. Trump's going to come in and he's going to finish everybody, like the bullfights when they stick the bull at the end.
Well, the point being, of course, the reason I mentioned it is I made the case over and over again. It's just, it's all theaters. In other words, these are the people that they have chosen. These are the people that they have something on. These are the people that are subordinate to their handlers, right? Yes. They're going to do the bidding of whoever is running the show behind the scenes, the stage production company instead of the actors, right? So that's all. So, Jim, I just have one more question. I've been dying to ask you this question for a while. All right. Let's say we get the time machine. We go back in the past and we bring Adolf Hitler forward and we put him on the ballot and he speaks full English. Are you going to vote for him?
Russ. Oh man, now we got three bad choices.
How ridiculous to put me on that kind of a spot. Russ, I want Russ to give us some thoughts about where the hell we are.
Well, I mean, clearly they could have taken Trump down any time. You know, look how easy different people have been. You know, Wilbur Mills. His problem was just drinking.
Well, you did have a girlfriend, and that's what they blamed.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend. One girlfriend.
That'll do it.
It's so tame compared to what we have today. It's nothing.
And who's the guy? Who's the guy that was photographed on? You know, he's married. He's photographed on the boat with the guy from Colorado.
Gary Hart.
Who's that
Gary guy? Hart.
Gary Hart. That was nothing. That was nothing.
She was cute. She was a honey trap. It was a setup. They They haven't the effort in the past just effortlessly swept away politicians. I mean, Wilbur Mills was an entrenched guy. Gary Hart was just a hot newcomer, but equally they just dismiss him with the back of their hand. It is right. So effortless.
Yeah, the comparison to Trump.
Wilbur was a Rothschild agent and bailed him out of bankruptcy one of what, 5 or 6 times?
Yes, oh, Wilbur Ross.
We lost your image.
Wilbur Ross. Not to be confused with Wilbur Mills.
Oh, I said Wilbur Mills. I meant Wilbur Ross. Yeah.
Yeah, Wilbur Ross is the guy that bailed Trump out of his Taj Mahal fiasco.
I tend to misspeak a lot. Is that what I said, Wilbur Ross? I'm doing that a lot now in my old age. Jeez.
It might have been me that misspoke.
Okay.
Wilbur Mills rather than Wilbur Ross. Yeah. Wilbur.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, do you think the black community is going to wake up and turn against the Jewish mafia now that they got P. Diddy in their crosshairs and they're throwing him under the bus?
No. Most blacks are similar to whites. They don't know anything and they're just interested in living their lives. I mean, that's what I encounter everywhere I go, is people are pretty disinterested overall. Just quickly, I'll mention, I was over the weekend, I just happened to go to this little Italian restaurant with a bar and a television screen. I was watching the Sunday night game and I met this guy. He's actually Persian, Iranian, but you know, he came over here at the age of 4, and he's been back to Iran many times. I asked him, I said, so you've been back? And he told me flat out, he says, Paul, look, man, the Iranian people are great. If you go over there, I promise you, you walk around, you will get invited to dinner. People will take care of you. They'll feed you. You'll have a great time. Iran's a great country. And this guy's an American, right? And he's telling me this. So, you know, this is just, we're all subject to this Jewish theater production. And it's all designed to cause us in our minds fear, turmoil, apprehension, misunderstanding. It's basically, it's a psychological brainwashing operation 24/7. You know, I'm fucking sick of it. So, Jim, seriously, if it's between Kamala Harris and Hitler, who are you voting for?
Okay, I'll go with Hitler. Are you happy now?
Hey, Paul, I hang out with Iranians here because I'm in this gateway country and I'm just camel ride away from Iran. I'll tell you what, the truth is these Iranians are super nice and they wear USA T-shirts. They love America and they're proud of wearing USA T-shirts. They also like Trump. They hate Biden. So, yeah, Iranians are like super cool, man. Of course, I don't even bother to tell them what you and I know about Trump. But I'm just surprised to see Iranians wearing USA T-shirts, and they're very nice. They're not the demons that I'm supposed to think they are, and neither are the Iraqis or any of these other Middle Eastern
people.
I've been
to Iran. Iran is the most peace-loving nation in the world. They haven't launched a war of aggression against another state since 1775. For crying out loud!
My son's married to an Iranian.
They're wonderful people. Yeah, they have
good family lives, good solid people, definitely.
They have a profound respect for law. They're absolutely wonderful. They're
well educated,
exemplar for the rest of the world, along with Russia. Russia and Iran are probably the two most moral nations in the world today.
Well, did you know you could get married
for a president?
I've eaten restaurants here and there, but he told me the food over there is awesome as well. You know,
Joaquin, yeah, we can't see you for whatever your camera's off, but we can hear you. Go ahead,
hear
Joaquin.
Me. You can't see me. Yeah, no, Persian is the president of Iran, and he's Armenian.
Hey, by the
Just
way,
like
did
they
you
got
know?
Rid of the foreign minister Abdullahian. He was Armenian too. There's a lot of Armenians in Iran. And basically, my understanding is Iran, you can be Christian, you can be Jewish, you can be anything there, and they get along with each other. That's my understanding.
Yes.
All I know is that apparently in Iran, you can go and get married for an hour, or you can get married for 5 hours, or you can get married for a day. They don't have prostitution there because that's illegal. But what they do is to maintain the honor of the woman and the dignity of the man, you can actually go and marry a woman for an hour or a day. And that's how that works
I'm astonished, that's something I did not know.
Yeah, my daughter.
I never knew that either.
My daughter-in-law is a little bit critical of the old days in Iran when she was growing up. I think she came to the United States when she was about 20. And she said it was pretty oppressive, especially towards women. She didn't really like it. I think it's gotten better. I don't think it's quite as bad. There's been a little bit of liberalization. So in some ways, it's a very oppressive country towards women. But, you know, given the state of women in the United States, my comment is, well, I kind of get it.
I do, too. Living here with these people and seeing them and these women walking around covered from head to toe, I've learned to see that as sexy, actually, more than when I see that it's like fat women with like belly shirts and their bellies twerking, are hanging out. I'm like, oh, my God, that's disgusting.
Twerking cover behavior. Up. No twerking behavior in Iran, believe me.
Yeah, I've grown to see the thing that is kind of sad, though, is when you see them eat at a restaurant. Because they have their whole face covered and like they have to constantly go like this, and
yeah,
that's like really weird. But hey, listen, it's not me, you know. So I'm glad Joaquin, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, let me bring Joaquin back before we have to conclude. Joaquin,
well, you know, I don't have that much to say. We've said a lot tonight.
Your final thought. Your final thought for today.
That's it. He doesn't have much to say. That is his final thought.
I don't want people to, you know, the thing that they want us most to be is so despondent and depressed and feeling powerless that we just give up and roll over and die. Well, don't give them the damn satisfaction. We need to fight for what's right, for what's good. And that means we need to oppose our enemy that is out to kill us. And by the way, Jim, I'm back in December with the third time around with my topic in your symposium there, with the agenda of depopulation genocide.
Wonderful, wonderful, Joaquin. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Victor Hugo. Thank you, Paul and Gary, for calling in. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because literally we do not know how much time we have left. And support Revolution Radio.
You're listening to Revolution Radio.